Oh no! You got to sign it with a turkey hand.
Yeah, exactly. Right? all of your submissions.
If it looks like a diseased hedgehog, probably not a real person. Welcome back to another Linux Emcast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux theming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin. That's Jordan. And over there is one Pedro Mateus with a return video, because if you tuned into the pre-super shows and we were playing with Jitsi, and in the pre-show, we were playing with Jitsi, and we absolutely have not got it perfectly working yet, so it could die at any time there. Did that cover all the bases?
I think so. We're like 1-for-3 at the moment, tentatively, if we can squeak this one out.
All in the Raspberry Pi. But together with you, Shat Realm Dynamic, watching us live, helping us form cocaine. Voltron. I had to chase a lizard out of my house.
what size lizard? Like big lizard, little lizard?
Jordan, if it was a big lizard, that would have been... Jordan, I now have a pet lizard.
Well, I mean, that's how this story could have ended, right?
No, it was like a little focky lizard. It was downstairs at the back, and where I get my like boots, and I went to pick them up because I was going to move them. And I saw one, a little tiny lizard, scurrying. I'm like, where the fuck, how? Where, come here. And he wasn't having it at all. So there was like a solid 20 minutes of chasing that motherfucker around every corner, under everything. I finally got him, and I put him outside. He's okay. Yeah. My brain wasn't ready for that shit, man. I'm like, really? Why am I having to chase one?
That was me with that squirrel a couple months ago. And then it like fucking hid in that fireplace for like a week. We had to get like a guy to show up, and he's like, oh my God, I've never seen a tenacious squirrel as much as this one. Like, so I got the fucking Pickle Rick squirrel apparently.
Oh man. I won a camera lens bid. So I didn't, it was one of those eBay things of like, what?
You kind of just like put the bid on there just for funsies, and then
I put a $30 bid on a $290 lens. Yeah,
no one else was looking for one at the time.
Well, it's a manual lens, so I don't think the kids know how to use them. It's got the dials on it.
The hipsters might.
They might, but I don't think they want to be fucking asked, because they want to be able to control it from their phone with Bluetooth. But it's like a 50 millimeter lens, and I wasn't paying attention because I didn't think I'd ever going to win. But it's a full frame, so it's 50 mil prime lens, but it's also got like a 1.5x crop. So like this is best it can do, man.
Zoom. Significantly more crop. Yes.
Yes.
But low light. This is like I think I got like F1.5 right now, and I have virtually no lights on in the studio.
That's so pretty good.
I'm not getting blinded, man. But it does the look at that shit. See this? It's like the blurry background.
Blurry background. We see a little happy bucket that Frank's holding.
That's kind of field. Yeah, being a 50, being this far away from it, plus with that crop, I don't know. I was just kind of playing around with it. So that was my unexpected journey. Oh, I installed a DAW, and I pissed a couple of people off on YouTube because PreSonus released a beta version. I guess this is kind of interesting though when we think about it. If you are into just Linux in general, the PreSonus, they make hardware, audio interfaces, big stuff for concert studios. You know, if you've been to a arena recently, it was probably mixed live on PreSonus gear. They released their digital audio workstation, a beta on Linux. Like, this is like, nobody's done that. But the interesting thing is, it's like, here's things that don't work. And one of them was Thunderbolt support. Because Thunderbolt is effectively PCI Express extension. That, can we all kind of agree to that?
Yeah.
Without too many well-actualized...
Wired PCIe, basically. Yeah. That was the point of it, yeah.
The thing with that is you need kernel drivers in order to make that work. It's not like a class-compliant USB device that you just plug in and it's going like, hey, you know, we got a standard for it. Kind of like the RME PCI card that I have in the DAW right now. Need kernel drivers for it. One of the things, like, doesn't work yet. Like, ooh, PreSonus very well could be like rolling out some Linux drivers in the future. That's good news, because even if you don't have a PreSonus interface, that gives you that data point to go to the next person. Like, why don't you have Linux drivers? PreSonus does. Aren't you better than PreSonus? Huh? Huh? kind of play it off like you do with the parents. You know, you say, hey, mom, aren't you better than dad?
I just got slapped.
as you're ducking punches, you know. Jordan, you said
that shit doesn't work with Jewish moms.
Oh, man. What is the equivalent of what is the sandal called?
It's just guilt.
Just guilt.
Guilt and shame.
30 years of guilt. All right.
Yeah. 30 years of guilt and emotional abuse. All
right, got it.
Yeah. So apparently the city of Toronto has decided that the sidewalk in front of my house just fucking needs to go. Yeah. So two days ago, wake up to the sounds of jackhammers, and apparently there is a whole on construction crew replacing the sidewalk in front of my house. Like, and I'm at the start of the street, so it's going all the way to like the end of the street. It's actually stopped just in front of my house. Like, it's I have a semi detached with like the neighbors.
Can we say it's where the sidewalk ends?
It is where the sidewalk ends.
All right.
Thank you, Shel Silverstein. you're such a giving tree. I don't know any other Shel Silverstein books, but I'm sure they exist. Anyways, yeah, so they're just fucking tearing this up. They didn't tell anyone. As far as I know, there are, like, people on my neighborhood who are, like, full-on trapped in their houses because there's, like, drying cement in front of where they need to drive over. I don't know. It's fucking weird. There's dust everywhere, too. I go up to them, like, yeah, so who do I charge for the fucking car wash? Getting dust all over my car.
Like, hello, sir. We're from the government, so
yeah. And that's how I found out the city of Toronto has decided that the sidewalk, the perfectly fine sidewalk in front of my house, needs to go. Like, there's not any cracks. It's not like uneven. One street over, it's fucking pothole city. But no, having solved all other problems, they need to fucking dig up the dirt in front of my house.
Oh, look at Jordan with this gentrified sidewalk.
It's gentrified, man. There's roads that need actual care down the street.
Yeah, but you don't want your feet to hurt while you're walking down your sidewalk.
I want my feet to hurt all the time. All I want is pain and suffering, just like Pedro.
Speaking of pain and suffering, how's it going, man?
A lot less pain. The suffering's still there,
so you gotta roll a tape there.
You make do. Yeah, that there's some masking tape and there's some cutting compound and the collection of different sandpapers because I need to defog the headlights.
You didn't
on the
get
car.
Around to that yet. You didn't buy a kit.
I did buy the kit.
Oh, I just bought a kit.
It's right there. And there's also the box with the drill. I was gonna do it today, but I was asked to do other things, so the time it was not there. Unfortunately,
were you asked tomorrow, to drill other probably. Boxes?
No, unfortunately not. If only. No, actually, speaking of the car, it kind of gave me a scare because I was going around doing the shopping, and when I came home, it was already late, and on the drive back, the front left headlight wasn't working. It's like, what the hell? I just replaced both of the bulbs. What the fuck? So, popped the hood when I parked here and I wiggled the connector and it came back to life. It's like, ah, okay. So we need to have a look at that then. All right.
Surprise headlights. Everybody loves them, man. Especially the horse.
You gotta wiggle them. Well, I mean, you gotta wiggle the horse's headlights a little bit. Otherwise they don't light up the way they used to. It's been 10 years. The spark is gone. It's the steam. I'm too busy throwing up right now because I put my VR headset on. and
we'll be there.
I'm just vomiting rainbows and stomach acid. Yeah, so Steam VR 2.0, they got an update. And lo and behold, there are actual Linux fixes for like the three, count them three, Linux VR users out there. They're updating the Steam runtime to Sniper because Sniper, no sniping. All of the UI features from the Steam Deck refresh are now in Steam VR, so assuming it's using the same code base as everything else, meaning that you should be getting more timely updates to Steam VR and it should be a little bit more stable, should make the overall maintenance easier as well. And yeah, that's kind of it. There's some better drivers, there's some better support for some of the HMDs out there, as you do. It's always weird seeing Meta in the notes, right? Like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of, I really wish Facebook would be asked to properly support the Quest on Linux, because That is still a kerfuffle and a half to actually get the Quest and Steam VR talking to each other. Please just make it so that if I plug it in with the USB 3 cable to the Type-C port, it goes, yeah, okay, I know what that is. That's a head mounted display. Well, we can talk. No, you gotta go through all this bullshit and run a server locally and run the like push some software to the Quest itself. That's a pain in the butt.
Oh man. See, I am reading through some of the comments on this. This clearly confirms that Deckard is real.
I mean, the leaks have
it's been coming out next week. Clear. Next week.
Yes, next week in Valve time. So yes. 2024 sometime.
Right after it's releasing with Half-Life 3, which will be an exclusive running on Mac OS.
Alex 2. That's what it is.
Yes.
More about that. AI. We're still getting to grips with AI as a society, what it can do, what it can't do, and like what type of regulations and all that stuff. I mean, it's a wild west. People are out playing with it. And like, oh my God. Valve is very much like, we don't want to deal with any of that right now. We have pits of money to roll around in. So we talked about a couple of weeks ago, AI assets. If you have those in your game, you can get a note from the Steam store. And it's up to Valve's discretion. They're like, no. We don't want to deal with that. Even if all of your stuff that you can prove, and hey, this has been trained on Adobe, whatever it's called this week. However, there's something you might not think about that could be AI assisted, and that is your text translations. And that is what happened to Kozden, posted on our game dev over on the Reddits. Steam also rejects games translated by AI. Details are in the comments. So this went in. And he's like, he put a note of it. He's like, hey, yeah, I used AI to translate this. And Steam's like, cool story, bye.
And I mean, like, usually I'm not the AI apologist here. I have concerns about the use and proliferation of tools as a way to like displace workers' rights and stuff like that. But here, I see where the guy's coming from, right? Like, machine-assisted translation has been a thing for a good long while now, and most methods these days use some form of AI to do it, as he brings up in the post itself. You don't tell me Google Translate isn't, like, it's not Bard, but it is an AI. It was trained on a bunch of linguistic data, and it uses that to produce translations. And I get Valve's hardline stance on this. Just saying flat no to everything. No, like we're just not going to deal with it until the courts tell us that we have a specific way forward. Because we don't like dealing with courts. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. This means that like how many games on Steam right now have been translated via machine assisted translation? Like I would assume
two,
a large majority of them. At least.
I don't know. When I see something like this, this general, like, again, I understand where Valve's coming from this 100%. I would probably do the exact same thing of like, I'm not touching this. I don't want to get sued and I don't want to get tied into some legal nonsense until the rules have been established, which those rules have not. But all this is going to do is like, not just with AI art, but also with text generation. I'm just not going to fucking tell you. So yeah, these are landmines. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So these landmines are going to be planted for future discovery.
And yeah, there's I get it. Again, much like Ven and Jordan, I absolutely do get it. Valve, they don't know what language model was used, what the license was on that language model, what the license was on the software that was used. So it's okay at that point. Maybe we don't want any of that near our store, because if someone comes and claims, oh, that's pirated content because that was my language model that they used to translate that.
You see where it just constantly goes, brr, that was mine.
And again, Google Translate is the big monkey wrench in there, because it doesn't play well with this very like sledgehammer-esque approach of just saying flat no. Like, again, what other games on Steam right now will be disqualified from this? Are they going to do anything? Are they going to start curating this? When you start having these sort of, like, ad hoc decisions with your hardline rules, it creates it kind of does away with the whole point of having the rule in the first place, right?
I mean, the rule is pretty simple. No AI.
But again, there's stuff on Steam that already has that. So what are they going to start taking it down?
Yeah, as soon as they disclose it, they're like, you're gone too. So nobody's going to say anything. And nobody's going to say anything when they're submitting their games to Valve either.
Yeah, we're going to need like plagiarism detection AIs. AIs all the way down, man. It's turtles.
They discovered those didn't work. Somebody did a study on like whether or not the detection and it failed. Just miserably. So like you can't even detect if somebody is generating like their doctoral thesis with it. Like there's
you just gotta check if they have any illustrations of hands. That's what you gotta start including as a requirement for all your papers.
Oh, no, you gotta sign it with a turkey hand.
Exactly. all of your submissions.
If it looks like a diseased hedgehog, probably not a real person.
But yeah, no. Beyond the language models, Valve has other legal issues to worry about. Specifically, the EU courts have finally ruled on the appeal that they made to the investigation, which started back in 2016 or 2017, and then in 2021, the EU said no. Disallowing people from buying keys in different regions within the EU is naughty. So you have to let people do it.
And, oh, no, hang on, Pedro. I need to enable Turk. No, I don't. F you, whatever that is.
You want more ads?
Yeah. No, that's the X Twitter cookies there.
Yeah, but you want more ads?
It is. Yes. But it is, with basically this one, it's the EU saying, no, you cannot restrict the buying of keys in between the member states. They specifically said, in agreeing bilaterally that geo-blocking the operator of the Steam platform, Valve, and five PC video game publishers unlawfully restricted cross-border sales of certain PC video games that are compatible with that platform. And, there was already a precedent found, and in these cases, Valve, Capcom, Namco Bandai, Focus Home Interactive, Koch Media, I know what I said, and Microsoft, I mean ZeniMax, they were all found to be deliberately restricting imports between member states of the union. That's good. That, to me, in my opinion, that's good. The practical result of this is going to be that there's going to be price parity all around. And if Australia got us the refunds, then maybe the EU can get us the price parity, which would be nice. It would be a start into getting video game pricing under control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the actual conclusion of the court was that while copyright laws give Valve and the other publishers the rights to sell the licenses themselves to the software, they have no rights to actually attempt to restrict the legitimate sale of those licenses in specific areas to ensure higher margins. And I think this is a good thing, right? Like, I think the vast majority of the game profit proceeds should go to the developers, should go to the people who are actually involved with making the game. Publishers, they have a role, but they are too... It's like fucking music labels, right? It's too much of a rent-seeking thing. And a lot, like, I'm in Canada where shit's just, like, randomly more expensive. And a lot of software has what is effectively a bullshit region tax placed on it for no realistic reason. And using a VPN to legitimately purchase a valid license for that software from a storefront at a lower cost doesn't really hurt anyone except for Valve. As Ven will get into, there are going to be some knock-on effects that, we'll see what happens, but what do you think?
I don't know. My first thought is like, when it comes to like the prices of games being under control, and like games are pretty much cost the exact same thing for the last 40 years. Nope. Retail games they have, I've already price charted it. And like, you bought an Atari game back in 1980, you're going to be paying about $60 for it. You go buy a new game right now for your PS5, you're going to be paying about $60.
You're going to be paying $80. 70. You're 70. Yeah.
Yeah. They've increased them to 70 now.
10%.
Now,
if you want to track everything else against inflation, what I just said, video games have been doing pretty good. If you're looking at 10% over 40 years, gentlemen, and that's, not bad at all compared to other commodities, let's say like food, power, electricity, automotive. So
things are expensive.
Yes.
Games. What do you do with games? We have options. You see, you can make a game pretty much cost whatever you want, because the real question is, are you going to give it to me a price I'm willing to pay for it? That's always been the question, not whether or not you're going to sell it to me, because piracy's already shown that. What Valve has managed to do all these years, these decades and decades of trying to make it easier, reducing that friction for people, and I think has worked for a lot of people, where you go, yeah, I'm just going to buy it. Like, yeah, and just pick it up. More than likely, you're going to sit back and go, yeah, we'll wait on the sale. And get a sale, mm-hmm. maybe get it in a Humble Bundle. Digital distribution. So, like, this law, you know, this is definitely tacking on, like, a digital to something that was a law that I think, maybe I'm wrong, but the way I was reading it was clearly designed for physical goods. Correct?
Yeah, that's where the implementation came from.
Yeah.
The having the Commonwealth was to allow the free trade between the member states.
Mm. So, ultimately, at the end of the day, I can see Valve going, you know, we're not even going to bother with this. You know? Everything's just going to be 60 euro in all of Europe. Now, Pedro, you looked up the... there used to be two tiers for the EU, yep. right?
There was EU1 and EU2, which was a Valve thing. They created that distinction. But apparently a few years ago, they said, no, everyone gets EU1 prices, which were the prices for like France, Germany, and the other more well-off
economically,
countries.
Economically stable, let's call it that.
Well, this is a good thing to bring up. Now, were games noticeably cheaper when you were living in Portugal?
Yes.
Okay.
Because you would get... Oh, yeah, it's a game. It's $60. It would be like at most 50 euros for a game, which was pretty good. While at the same time in the UK, it's like, yeah, that's 50 pounds. Oh, that's a bit much.
I'm pretty sure I was like, you know what? If we're going to do that, it's going to be the equivalent of 50 pounds. I mean, it's, well, not UK's yeah. a bad example, but let's say Iceland, which is like the highest yeah,
not
earning.
Not in the EU anymore, so.
It's just going to be 60 pounds or 60 euro in Portugal, too.
Yep.
Yeah. And
there's no wiggling around that.
That gives me a little bit of sads, man, because like I think like, regional pricing has its place if used correctly. You know? Like, some sure. people were like, yeah, I want to support the developer who made this game. I don't want to pirate it. But, you know, that is like, when you look at the, you know, what you make in this area versus what you make in this area, cost of living and all that gets factored in. You're like, I just can't afford video games at your prices. It's like a lot of people making an income living outside of like, you know, Jordan knows a lot about this, living in, I think, the most expensive city, like, or in the top three in the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can make an absolutely fantastic living. You move to Toronto, man, you can't even afford a place to live.
The reason those Facebook and Twitter salaries were so high was when everyone was based out of San Fran was because that was just a normal ass developer salary in that area.
Adjusted right? like, for that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to, you know, make some concessions for smaller spots. Like, we don't see anything like that you don't see anything like that in Canada. And we don't see anything like that in North America. Just in general, I don't think. It was just a like, EU thing.
The EU is also like a multi-nation state amalgam as opposed
and
to...
South America also has had quite a lot of the difference in prices. Like Argentina's and Brazil's
Mexico.
And whatnot. Yeah, but Central America too. But yeah, it is like North America, like yeah, the US and Canada probably... far better off financially speaking than
no I want to games country. In Toronto to cost three times more
but yeah no if you look at the markup of Brazil for example if you look at the markup on video games for Brazil it's insane. That's why they're still manufacturing Mega Drives or Genesis,
and that's I think it's like something 500%. I mean it's something yeah. like, just abstract.
The import taxes stupid.
Unless you produce what Pedro was going to say, like, unless you manufacture the thing there.
Locally, yeah.
You know, it was there, like, it's another one of, like, best intents, and the outcome's just dog shit, and it's just too invested and going back. Anyway, let's talk about Steam Decks. We're not going to fix this. Who's got a Steam Deck?
Are we going to fix Battlefield on the Steam Deck? Or is
too
that
spooky for you edition, because October is coming up, baby, but you're not going to be able to get your Battlefield 2042 on your Steam Deck any more than you could right now, but this is going to be like extra you can't, unless you run Windows on it. I'm sure somebody's out there who's like,
I'm running Windows on my Steam Deck.
Everybody's
is going
favorite
terrible.
Publisher, Electronic Arts, Steam Deck breaking anti-cheats, going to hit more games. And why is there a picture of that Steam Deck there? Well, ladies and gentlemen, This new anti-cheat solution, some old-school shit, some Star Force level DRM coming back, zombie DRM coming back to you. Their in-house DRM is going to require, you guessed it, kernel-level access, and that shit ain't going to fly on Linux. Nope. So, this is already broken, EAFC 2024, which is a football game. I had to go look that up. And Battlefield 2042 is also slated to get this treatment as well. But the big concern here is something that we've covered on this very show, because we talked about it. EA flipped the EAC switch for Apex Legends and like was public about it. They're like, hey, guys, it works on Steam Deck now. Go play it. It'd be awesome. But if Apex gets this, you're not going to be able to play it on your Steam Deck anymore.
Yeah, they didn't. What was it? Battlefield 2042 is also using EAC currently as well, and they didn't flip that on either. Wildcard EA is still fucking keeping everyone guessing, right? Like they're kind of just making moves. They're kind of just shooting from the hips because, like, oh yeah, Steam Deck's great. Oh, we're totally supporting the open source Command and Conquer guys. Oh yeah, we're good guys. EA Play, $30 a month, get all the games you. Yeah, no more. Get your Apex Legends on your Steam Deck. No more though. I don't know. It's strange. Maybe we will get a Steam Deck version of it in the future but maybe EA is one of those like Microsoft situations where like there's too many like business units and they're not in sync. So like
they have no idea what the other's doing. Yeah, they definitely have that size.
Like the Apex guys are like, yeah, sure, Steam Deck, why not? Absolutely. And the Battlefield guys are like, what are you talking about? That seems like a lot of work. We'll just implement a brand new anti-cheat instead of adding a DLL.
And they already have the separation for like regular EA and EA Sports. So
it's in the game, yeah. Pedro.
I wonder if this is just like a licensing thing. Maybe Epic is charging them too much for EAC and they just want to get off that.
You know, I wouldn't put it past it.
You know what? Maybe they hired somebody competent at EA. This is a strange take, but they're like, EAC doesn't do anything. Like the people, that's security theater. Like that doesn't stop anybody who really wants to, again, cheat in their football simulator game.
Well, cheat in their football simulator to get the good players from the loot box. That's what they don't want people cheating on.
Yeah.
Is fucking breaking the in-game economy.
Editing the memory values to always get the best one.
Pedro, you're the sports fan here. Go come and help some.
No,
Portugal is famous for their cricket team.
Yes. I'm a terrible Portuguese person. I hate football. I hate the beach. I hate the heat. I hate fish.
Peas.
Peas are kind of a thing here, too. So.
But what about tuna fish on your pizza with pineapple and mayonnaise?
You can even give this boy favorite. A plate of mushy peas,
yes,
and he'll turn
I like
it down.
Those. Like, that I like, but that's a me pizza.
Moral
and I'm the
of
only
the
one
story.
Who likes those pizzas.
Don't be surprised if you log into Apex Legends and it's like, womp, womp, and EA learns about refunds. Mm. Wait, Apex Legends is free to play now, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe
I mean, EA laughs. Manically twirls their mustache.
I mean, Apex was one of the few
games
of that genre that survived versus PUBG and Fortnite. It was like the three big ones were PUBG, Fortnite at the top, obviously, then PUBG, then Apex. So they did okay with that, and I'm very happy that they have it on the Steam Deck. It's not my kind of game. I wouldn't play it, but it's good to have it on Linux for the people who do enjoy it. So please don't take it away. Yeah.
I kind of like Battlefield. I played 1942. I think that was the only Battlefield I ever played. And that one was fun because like I like the big battlefield where there's like multiple, like you have fights going on in the air, fights going on
units,
the ground,
like
and you can like,
shit like that, right.
Yeah, and you can interact with stuff and like that was always kind of dope. I always liked that. It would be nice to. I don't know. I don't want to play with randos on the internet.
Jordan, that's just too damn bad because none of that exists in this next game. A game update, Counter-Strike 2. For over two decades, Counter-Strike has offered an elite competitive experience often shaped by millions of people saying wonderful things about each other's parents.
Shouting all sorts of profanities.
Yes. Well known for this. And, well, there's a free update to the now free game to play. And that's it, lads. every game Valve makes officially has a 2 after it, and we're not counting that one, so don't even bother typing it in the chat.
Ricochet! Ricochet!
Or the other one.
What was the alien one?
Alien Swarm?
Yeah, Alien Swarm. There you go.
I like
how they totally forgot about Alien Swarm. They didn't even release the Source SDK for that shit.
Both of you fuckos memory hold Artifact.
yeah, that's right. Well, Artifact had like that secondary release that was kind of like a 2.
And the Battle Chess one, the Dota.
Auto Chess. Not Auto Chess. Oh, man.
Yes.
So I've been reading around the internet.
Dota Underlords.
You might have guessed, outside of Pedro, we're not huge into CSGO. Pedro played it for 10 minutes, but if you give him like 5 seconds, he'll tell you the entire story. He was pretty good at it. He even got banned one time because they thought he was cheating. There, did I get all the points? Good.
So, pretty much, yeah.
Don't worry. One thing they got rid of is the one thing that we played for a minute was the Danger Zone, which was the Counter-Strike version of Battle Royale.
It was pretty fun, yeah, I gotta say.
Like, that's kind of fun. They're like, oh shit, we detected somebody having fun in our skin gambling simulator. Get that shit out of here. That's not the type of company we want to be. So you might be wondering, can I still play CSGO? Yes, you can. It's still there on the beta participation menu. The CSGO demo viewer 138.79 will get you back to your old game that no one's playing anymore. So you get with the program, Grandpa.
Unless you want to play Danger Zone. In which case, this is the only way.
Yeah, you really don't want to go back because it's still the same game. It just has a 2 on the end.
Well, so didn't they added some new stuff too. They have like that smoke stuff that people aren't liking. I thought it was a cool idea, but added to CSGO before the update.
There's new smoke effects people are fucking angry about. And I'm like, okay, if you're the type of person that goes, see, I can't, we can't even, and that's not a bad thing. It's like people are invested in this game and I can respect that. A lot of people are playing it though. It didn't die. Not at all. There's over 1 million concurrent active players right now. And that's according to the Steam charts. I downloaded it, played around with it on old Threadbooper. Took me about 10 minutes to compile shaders because this thing's not OpenGL, baby. This thing's Vulkan all the way down. And using my 3060, managed to squeeze out right at 60 at 1440p high. But it was really shouty the entire time it was doing it. I forget that the 3060 has fans. It was a stark reminder of like, this is how loud I go. And really my closing thing about this, I have no idea how the I have 15 hours in CSGO. Unless it just hung as a process one time.
It's very, very likely. Sometimes Source Engine games do that. They'll just like not exit all the way. Steam will do that too, where it will like keep the zombie process open and it's still
I never touched CSGO until it came to Linux. We got that. And I bought a copy of it, played it for about 5 minutes. I'm like, whatever. I gave him my signal that like, do good. Played it again when we reviewed it, so I had another hour into it there, and we played roughly maybe, 45 minutes of Danger Zone?
I think we did, like, at least 2 or 3 hours of Danger
Zone. Okay, let's say we did 9. It's still not 15.
Sure. maybe you're sleep Counter-Striking. Maybe.
Yes, a sleeping Ven just gets up and plays Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
The Mountain Dew.
Instead of like somnambulism, it's dustulism.
Yeah, dustulism. Yeah, no, it is. They just updated CSGO. That's what they did. They didn't even pretend that they had to update the server software, Blizzard. Overwatch 2.
Well, we needed to add another character and not deliver our promised single player mode.
Is Prime status upgrade? That's $14.99.
That's the if you bought the game, you get Prime status.
Again, what is Prime status upgrade? Better gambling question that was asked.
It gives you basically it queues you up with other people who also bought the game. And it keeps you away from
the pores. Got it.
So it says right there, you get like exclusive souvenir items and like loot drops. So I think it's like if you pay the money, you will get the better skins, you will get the whatever, or you will have a better chance of that. Yeah. Can you integrate it with like Amazon Prime? Can you get like Counter Strike, Amazon Prime, Optimus Prime?
No, but you do get.
Is that what they're setting up? Yeah.
You get the pilot episode of Half Life. Coming out after the boys.
Man, I would love to see Half-Life, like a Half-Life show is just like an entire, like a silent movie. That would be dope.
Oh, yeah, like one of those not artsy, but artsy type deals.
Yeah, yeah, where, yeah, where no, like,
not silent
like
the as in, like, jumps like at you. Old style and, silent, but
yeah,
just...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, talking.
No. Yeah, with
like,
no, okay.
Or like, no, no. You. Sometimes, like, the head crab jumps at your face, and you get a card that says "screech." That's it.
I want to see the entirety of Half-Life 1 play out from the perspective of head crabs.
Oh, from Hedy Lamarr. Yes, from that one defanged head crab.
Yeah.
Just from being inside Vince and running away from Gordon and being scared, trying to save their family from the crowbar monster.
Yeah,
the Lamarr simulator.
Yeah. So some I Am Legend shit. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I think that does that for game updates. Let's talk about American Pie. It's my favorite. It's my favorite movie.
It has
like 5 sequels.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's here. Kind of came out of nowhere. I wasn't aware. I just assumed it was in the works, like we all did. We just didn't expect it for like maybe another decade. Of course, we're talking about the Raspberry Pi 5. Huh. And I want to give this a mention mainly because single board gaming is absolutely a thing, so we could sneak it into the show. And this guy, it's got the system on chip. It's the Broadcom BCM 2712. Not quite as fast as like the Orange Pi Rock Chip, the RK3588, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close, and it's got a better price on it. So we're looking at 60-watt Stinky Caches for a 4-gig model and 880 for the 8-gig, which is $5 more than the original Raspberry Pi 4 8-gig. That's not too bad. However, you might notice this picture here, it's a lie, because it doesn't show the heat sink and fan that you need to have on this thing, which you do if you plan on running it. So, it does have a funky ribbon connector for a PCI Express extension, so you'd be able to get a hat with maybe some M.2 or a PCI by 1 on there. One of the things that I thought was interesting, though, since we are doing the gaming thing here, gentlemen, it does, in fact, scrub through a video.
There it is.
Run Doom.
Aha.
Yeah. At 60 FPS.
To be fair, the
Doom
Pi
3,
4,
by the way.
Yeah, you could play Doom 3 on the Pi 4 already at 720p at around 30-ish FPS according to the time demo.
Hey, this one's getting up to 60 sometimes.
Yeah, hey, no, it is significantly better.
This is bullshit. This is not Doom 3 because it's been 30 seconds and a monster hasn't teleported immediately behind you and like tried to kill you.
Yeah. That's the start of the game. You get like 2 minutes of respite.
I want everybody to go watch. If you're interested in gaming on Raspberry Pi, Pedro has a Pi Boy that he built, and he's pretty proud of it. He holds it up sometimes. But ETA Prime did an entire video of what works, what doesn't. Like, right out of the gate, you're thinking about PSPP. No Vulkan support in that right now. So you're doing all the software bit. Dreamcast, completely solid. N64 is a little bit chuggy. And, yeah.
N64 is always going to be chuggy.
Imagine like that if it was more like a Steam Deck with a screechy fan in it.
I mean, it already has a screechy fan in it. You can hear it.
Put two in there. We can water cool it.
The other neat thing that they're shipping with this eventually is the PoE hat, where you can get like you can power your Pi. Will you be able to power your Pi via Ethernet, or will you use your Pi to power other stuff? Is that the intention?
Yes, you can do both technically.
Okay, well that's actually pretty dope because like there's a lot of like. There's a lot of shit you can do with PoE and like not having to worry about like having a power supply attached to the.
Well, I mean, you can do what I do with the Microtix, which is very good because they have your standard barrel connector, but they also have PoE and you can use that as a redundant power and both plugged in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's another way of doing that. In the entire time that you're alive and awaking, you're thinking about the PoE out running to the access point because that still bugs me. Yeah. I know the type of people that make Ethernet cords, man. They're not high quality. I don't care who you get them from.
Yeah.
So, are you going to buy one, Jordan?
Maybe. If I'm able to get my mitts on one, they're available for pre-order now. But once they go on GA, I think Disney is going to buy most of them.
Now, most of the places I've seen offering pre-orders have a very, especially like Chicago Electric, they're like, yo, you can order one. You can put two in your cart, and you know what? We'll still charge you shipping for that second one. You can go get a pie, though. Like, I think anybody is...
Limit one per customer?
I think, maybe coming back a little bit, Raspberry Pi was very clear with everybody they supplied pre-order stock with. They were like, do not fuck this up, all right? We need a win here. Because, we talked a little bit about this in the pre-super shows, and I'm like, do I want to buy an Orange Pi 5 or do I want to get this Raspberry Pi 5? Orange Pi 7, I guess I should say. 7. Because we've seen what happens, and we know the playbook from Raspberry Pi when supply just disappears. Who's customer number one? Businesses. That yeah. does not set well with me, like, at all, because they immediately flipped over to, like, we got to serve our enterprise customers. I mean, you guys who got us started at the beginning and done all the groundwork and laid the infrastructure and the ecosystem. Yeah, fuck you guys. But these businesses, we got to make sure that supply chain's nice. And so, yeah, that sits well with me. No, it doesn't. So I'm thinking about, like, you know, do you be part of the problem, part of the solution? Like, maybe I should collect an Orange Pi or something and help contribute to that ecosystem. What are your thoughts on this, Pedro? Do you care who makes your SBC?
That's the thing. I kind of still want one of the 8 gigabyte Pi 4s. I have an idea of a more discreet media box that uses a heck of a lot less power than that HP all-in-one that's currently on the mantle there. I still want to do that. So yeah, the Pi 4 would probably be the best one, although the Pi 5 is looking pretty good too.
Jordan, how cheap do you think the Raspberry Pi 4s are going to get?
Not very. I don't think the price is going to drop at all because no one's going to be able to get the Pi 5. I think it's going to
be available.
Well, here's going to be very fucking clear. I was talking about this on Weekly Daily Wednesdays. I think last week scalper prices have normalized. You get a Raspberry Pi 4 8 gig for $78 on Amazon.
So, so maybe you want to grab that now before the supplies start dipping again. I don't know. I'm kind of with you, Ven, in terms of, like, having played around with the Rockchip stuff,
mm-hmm.
my real issue with it is that depending on where you get it from, it's a fucking black box.
Yes.
And the nice thing about the Pi is that it is fully open source. All the shit is in Mesa. All the shit is standards compliant. And
a Raspberry Pi is no longer a Tinker toy. It is a product.
It is a product. Yep. Those Rockchip things, you got to get libmpp installed. You got to compile all your shit to, like, use the accelerator. It's not a very portable solution. Unlike
Ollie drivers.
Yes, yeah, but I mean, people who've had, like, the Rockchip for the past 2 years, we should point this out. It's not as fast as the latest Rockchip.
It's certainly not. But
it's built on a larger node. I think what is it, like, 80 nanometer?
Something like that.
Something like that. Not quite as power efficient as the latest Rockchips.
No, and that's the thing, like, and that's, like, the big toss-up, right? Like, those Rockchips are beasts.
They're 8 cores, like, man, big, little.
Yeah.
The 3588s are big.
But if you can't run the software you want on them, then all that horsepower is useless. So, I would love to see more Rockchip adoption, just so that we have a better open source landscape for that. So that, like, mm-hmm. shit just works when you plug it in.
Because we were talking about this, like, you go to download stuff for, like, I want to get, like, the Orange Pi stuff. I'm like, so I'm looking into the ecosystem, like, yeah, here's the images on my Google Drive. I'm like,
I ran an apt update on the Debian 11 thing for the NanoPi, and there's, like, 50 packages that are being held back because they're all, like, custom to that one image.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was like, can I update this to Bookworm? No, I cannot.
No. But, I mean, not too long ago, that was a Raspberry Pi experience.
That is true. So like I'm saying, hopefully this gets better. But, like, right now it's a bit of a.
That's kind of where I'm at. I was like, be the change, right? And but then again, I want to get one to play. Anyway, I didn't end up pre-ordering. Another reason, and maybe the reason you want to hold off, because these are going to require active cooling unless you want them to begin thermal throttling 30 seconds after you cut them on. Now, two ways to do that. They already have a aluminium, like, heatsink fan combo. You stick on it and deal with it, and I hope you no case, but they do have a case with a fan. Problem with that one's a bit shouty. So what you want to do is probably wait for the next 2 or 3 months for the tooling to get done for the new Raspberry Pi cases to come out, preferably with the ribbon hat built in so you can put an NVMe drive in it. It'll already have good cooling on it. The HDMI ports will make sense. And
at least they actually have a proper fan header on the board that's not just the GPIO pins. So,
oh, it does have a fan header, yeah.
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 Has someone, like, retrofitted a Hyper 212 to fit on a Raspberry Pi?
they make a itty-bitty Pedro.
Yeah, they made the one, I have one somewhere.
Oh yes,
it was like a Pi 4, but then I put the Pi 4 in the Game Boy case, so I had to take it out. Mm.
I kind of just want like the Pi 5 with like the giant fucking 212 stack on it.
They straight up make a tower cooler for the Raspberry Pi with heat pipes.
It's got fins. Like a 40 mil fan and a heat pipe.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's adorable. Yeah, active cooling. I'd rather have something passive. I think maybe I'll get like maybe the 4 gig version instead of the 8 gig version. Maybe see if I can do like a desktop replacement with these. Let us know in the comments, though, what type of projects you have for a Raspberry Pi 5. Because as we've shown, like as we're doing right now, I didn't bring it up if you were in the pre-show, we kind of got everything working with the Jitsi server running on a Raspberry Pi 4 8 gig, and it doesn't need it because it's not even using 2 gigs of memory RAM, and it's at like, what, 20% load, 45?
Yeah. It peaks to like 40 at most.
Right. So, and that's with the equivalent of 4 people on it. Wait, 6. 1, 2. Wait, no. 1, 2, 3, no, 4. Never mind. Yeah, because I'm in each of, yeah, 2 and 2. Vader, did you get the thing?
I didn't get the thing.
Damn it. What were you doing this entire time?
I was looking for it. It's not in the drawer that I less remember seeing it. So I've moved it somewhere.
That's ridiculous. But I want to go like I want the Super Saiyan 3 version of this. I want to go further beyond. No eyebrows, giant spiky hair glued to your Raspberry Pi. Let's go.
Yeah, the one I have is that one specifically. So,
oh, for everyone at home. Give me a link, man. I'll show people.
Oh,
didn't think of that. All the people watching on the live stream that we're on, did you? Slip your mind, huh? All right.
There's the Discord link.
Jesus Christ, here. There it is. That's what Pedro has.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have carved out the back of your Game Boy.
You can use it as a kickstand.
Right?
Yeah. Although it's actually slightly lighter than the original Game Boy, so there is that.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't have to have like a jillion AA batteries in there.
Mm-hmm. It's just the
Let's be perfectly clear, man. Four AA batteries on the Game Boy would run that bitch for you could get a day of like serious gaming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how many weeks a Game Boy could run on a lithium ion pack.
Yeah, like the 1500 watt hour.
You could probably get a couple of days out of a single 18650. Yeah.
In my Game Boy, I put in a bunch of I just remembered where I put a bunch of my rechargeable batteries. I put them in my fucking old Game Boy to store them.
You're welcome. So, LGC cares.
So I might try that.
It's Christmas time after the show, isn't it? Huh?
Motherfucker, we're playing some Pokemon Blue.
All right, what do we got up next? Oh, Vulcan news. Performance gains. Beefcake.
Yes. Yeah, this is from supergoodcode.com. Terry, he's back at it again, doing low-level shit to just blow our minds and blow up our GPUs. So, Mike. Mike Blumenkranz. I get my developers confused. But, there's a bit of a change that's been submitted to the Mesa Vulkan stack, where there was a bit of an inefficiency in the driver, where submitting 50 command buffers one time was faster than submitting one command buffer 50 times. Seems kind of weird. That's because the Mesa had previously a pretty rudimentary way of handling the submissions. I tried to read through the patch that Mike submitted, and I got a little bit of it. Most of it is just completely fucking over my head because Mike is way smarter than I am. But the short version is that in several of the conformance tests, we're seeing up to a 5,000, on average, 1,000% boost in some of the tests, which means that with the next release of Mesa, you can expect, and I give you the Jordan Sung guarantee, that is worth something, that your games will run 1,000 times faster with Mesa.
Across the board.
all games everywhere at all times. Ones that don't even use Mesa. that Pokemon game on your Game Boy running on the rechargeable batteries, that shit's running 1,000 times.
It's running Mesa now, baby.
Yeah, no, between 50 and 1,000% more semaphores or millions 3, of instructions per second. That's just for AMD. And then Intel.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Intel, you get between not. You get no performance improvements if you send the if you do the submit 50 CMD buffs.
Pedro, will you get me a turnip A740? I don't know what the fuck that is, but I want one.
I looked that up. These are Adreno GPUs.
Don't care. I need a turnip A740.
But yeah, it is. No, it is Intel. Some of the no-ops had absolutely no change, but at the same time, some of the others had a 5,000% increase. So that is beyond optimization at this point.
It averages
And Mike actually says, yeah, no, it still passes the conformance test, so very good. I look forward to the better performance.
I do like Mike's explanation of the Intel, like, yeah, this doesn't work because Intel.
Mm-hmm.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah, black box, whatever. No, but this is good. This is just more and more performance being squeezed out of the Vulkan drivers. This means that there is more and more overhead because we have these games that run like shit on Windows that run better on Linux because our drivers are more efficient and will fix shit.
Who's going to be the enterprising sociopath that like looks at Vulkan and goes, man, that shit's too high level?
Mike, I think. I think Mr. Blumenkrantz is a little bored and is like, we need to go deeper.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, something that you can get deep on your face. Blech. Yeah, as your vomit, because that's what we need. Face mask for your VR headsets. You know what?
Roller coasters.
We need baggies, chin baggies, so when you yak, it won't be such a problem. Reason we're bringing this up, because between 40 and 70% of players want to throw up. And that's a huge problem for companies that don't make the right type of porn. However, for the rest of you, virtual reality makes a lot of people sick. And you can't do shit about it, no matter what this article says. You know what? You can take the fucking toaster off your face and let your inner ear recover for a minute.
Nah, man.
Then go do some drugs and put it back on and go for a ride, baby. So why is this a problem? Well, the latest figures are showing that, you know, within 15 minutes, some people just start barfing everywhere. And this comes right in the face of Apple's getting ready to release their $3,500 eye toaster for your eye face. And
their eye eyes.
Eye eyes, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, my question is like, okay, I don't have a lot of experience in VR. All my experience is I'm over at somebody's house and I'm like, yo, do you have Meat Saber? And if they say yes, I'm like, give me. I'll try it on whatever you have. So I played it on a couple of different systems. Never had a problem with it, but I've never been like in a game that's like moving around like Half-Life, Half-Life, not Half-Life 3.
Half-Life Alyx, yeah, Serious Sam, Gorn, anything like that.
So like, what does it take? Like, it's not necessarily a price thing, because some people have a great time in like a little cheap, super cheap, but once you put your phone in, they're like, yeah, it's fine. Other people are just yakking everywhere. And I think, like, even with VR, it's not that big of a sample size, because you're really looking at, am I wrong? About $500 to get one that's not, like, super cheap. Even the, like, PlayStation console VR one's, like, $600, man.
I wonder where they actually got...
The Quests are the more accessible ones that you could get the Quest to for about $350.
Mm. But, okay, you got some time in VR, Jordan.
Yeah.
Do you have motion sickness?
I do not get motion sickness from VR. I don't get motion sickness in general. I don't know. I guess maybe like the people who are getting that are the same people who like, you remember Cloverfield? Like the first one?
Totally wasn't culturally relevant when I was 20. Yep. Passed right by it.
Hey man, I don't know. You're pretty old. Maybe Gone with the Wind was the last cinematic tour de force you cared about. What the fuck was I saying?
Motion sickness.
Yeah. The motion sick people getting motion sickness from like the camera motion from stuff like Cloverfield and whatnot. I don't know. Pedro, you brought up an interesting thing about astigmatism, and because it got me thinking, because like you can control each display independently. Could you not like do some accessibility stuff to like have different images going to each eye to
remember in, like, how we a were talking about like some software needs like a maybe interpreter.
Mm-hmm. that is peak of you'll have to do it in software, because it's absolutely not feasible to do it in hardware. But yeah, it is. I don't get motion sick in general, and yet playing anything which actually requires analog movement, there's a couple of the free games on the Meta Store for the Quest that, as soon as I start, I wiggle the analog stick on the controller, and I start moving, my entire body immediately goes, ooh.
That's not as fun. I just wanted you to be like, and I collapse on the floor. No,
yeah. So, did you start doing the Homer Simpson?
I can, like, play fine for about an hour, and then after about an hour, my head starts to hurt, and I start to feel a little queasy. I think the head hurting is because astigmatism, and even wearing my glasses, there's still the lenses on the actual headset, which are just fucking with my eyes. And if you have any kind of vision woes, VR headsets will find them. It will find them, and it will make them hurt. So
I think the real solution here is Neuralink. If you just jam spikes into your brain, you no longer get motion sickness.
No Spinal Tap.
What
no
if you don't get it on the first shot, though, man?
Still no motion sickness. You just jam that spike in your brain and no anything.
I mean, you put a Band-Aid on it. I saw that episode, South Park.
Yeah, absolutely. The X Band-Aid.
I don't know, man. Like, people just don't like wearing shit on their face. Like, this is a...
I get sweaty. That's the thing for me.
Like, but there's multiple factors. The tethered, weight, expense, cost. You know, I didn't make a very shocking prediction when, you know, even the initial, like, Valve VR. Was it the Index? What was the first one?
It was the Vive.
Vive. Index was HTC, the second one. Yeah. It's like, you're going to see the adoption with this modern-day VR the same as you're going to see with a fucking full racing setup. Not wheels. Full racing setup. Because even then, you had to have lighthouses and you had to dedicate a room to it. The same way as, like, if you see somebody with, like, pedals and shifters and all that, the expense, setup, the space. And until, like, this is what Apple's going to try to crack with their Gen 1. It's not going to happen because you still need a fanny pack with the Apple thing, and it's got a cord on it. So it's got to be glasses, it's got to be light, and it's got to be instant. I got to be able to click it in, go straight to my,
I want to see the eye fanny pack. The eye fanny.
You say that, but we both know damn well they wouldn't be able to keep them in stock.
I know, they're going to be everywhere. It's going to be like a fucking the
it's going to have a thing for your AirPod charger built into it, dude.
The thing that makes most people queasy is like the disconnect between the movement and what you're seeing.
What makes you queasy, Pedro?
Just playing VR for over an hour.
How about you, Jordan?
Pedro's face.
Yeah, but we've gotten used to that. What else?
I've exposed my face enough that you should have built a tolerance by this point.
Honestly,
we have Pedro bodies built up in our blood cells.
Honestly, the thing that sets me off is smell. Smell is what triggers my. If it's like specific spells, smells make me want to vomit. But it's like, yeah, motion, not really. That and heavy squats. I vomit all the time from heavy squats. But that's also that's having like force 500 induced, pounds.
Right? Yeah. That's your body.
Strain. Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about that. Like speed. I mean, I've never like vomited, but I get like that queasy thing. Have you guys ever jumped off like really extreme height things?
No, I'm very agoraphobic.
When I was a kid, yes, I used to climb trees and then jump down off of them.
Explains so much.
So, a little bit higher, like bridges, but when you first look down, like that,
the vertigo almost,
that always hit me. Not like planes don't fucking bother me, but like any type of base jumping, that
I think that's like some lizard brain shit where like your brain processes the distance and you're like, oh no, stay with the fuck away from that.
And that's like the most dangerous fucking time because you're like, but you chill. But I guess some people get like that when they like look over ledges and shit like that. Like, never mind. If I got something to hold on to, I'm like, whatever, I'll hang on to it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I definitely do get that. Not to the point of like vomiting, but like, yeah, I'll definitely need to like steady
people
myself.
People feel a little woozy. It's like that vertigo of looking over the edge and they get a little nauseous.
Yeah, I've never gotten a car sick before though. Like,
yeah, I know people get a car sick when they like read in the car. I read in the car fine. Like,
I want to go on a
transatlantic
voyage
and play Game Boy in the cars
in a steamship to see if I get Ocean sickness.
I've been on boats and I don't get ocean sickness either. So
I want to be on a boat. I don't want to be in some fucking cruise liner with $1 billion worth of like leveling shit.
Where there's the secondary boat and it's like free floating inside the shell of the actual boat to like keep it level.
See, I want to be dodging furniture and shit. That's a motherfucking boat I want to be on. Like
you want the ending of Titanic.
I want some Velcro when I lay down in bed at night to like hold me in place. Yeah,
you want Billy Zane to pull out a pistol and start shooting you while you're like through a boat.
Ah, Billy Zane, where are you when the world needs you? Pedro Mateus is a huge fan of the cool desktop environment.
I use it on a fairly regular basis, as in every day. That's the desktop environment that I default to because it actually gives me proper control over my desktop and it lets me change all the things if I so choose. So I kind of stick with it despite the shit that was Kwin on Nvidia, but now that I have an AMD card and I'm using Wayland, it's very, very good. It's possibly the best desktop environment I've ever used.
You had a bit of a 180 because you were suffering in AMD land at the very, very beginning of Linux Gamecast, and now you're like, I finally got out of that hellish Nvidia nightmare scape back onto AMD
because lands. Nvidia and KDE do not like each other, KDE, you probably saw it if you were on the Twitters or Mastodons. They released a news to indicate that they have a new page on their website.
Oh, that's for people who think GNOME's too advanced, right?
Mm-hmm. That GNOME is too restrictive, yes. They have they have a new page, which is KDE for gamers. Okay, right off the bat, can we just replace gamers with gaming?
Gamers with gamers with a Z, please, and thank you?
But yeah,
what game is this?
I think this is Cyberpunk.
That's Cyberpunk.
That's Cybertruck?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
Bird.
If you replace gamers with gaming, that looks a lot less desperate to start with. And then you start scrolling down and you see the Steam Deck. It does use KDE, yes.
Okay.
And then they have, you can use more things to play games that isn't just on the Steam Deck, on
get
other machines
for
as well.
Isle Riot! Solitaire!
They do have that, but they also have bottles. Which, if you look at that, if you've ever used Linux ever, and you've seen what GNOME 3 and GTK 3 native applications look like, yeah. KDE is built on Qt and not GTK, so
gaming is not important.
You can KDE, still use it on KDE though. It's no, not like it's illegal to use GTK software in KDE.
Here's bottles.
Listen here, witch. You can't do that.
Now, I am the one who uses KDE of the three of us, and I play video games. I should be the target demographic, and yet all I'm getting is cringe. With a K.
We're looking at a couple of games that we can play, man. Capman with a K, K-Mahong with a K, K-Mines, and K-Knights, K-Patient, Granateer. Granateer, you need to get with a program, all right?
Granateer?
Yeah, it's like whatever. Granateer? We got this fucking Pedro Mateus of a fucking game. That's just got to go against the grain for fuck no reason.
So like... Okay, so clearly this is like...
Oh, I thought this was going to be like a donation thing for children, and no.
Donate some plasma to gamers. They need your blood. Clearly this is not landing on the mark. So I gotta ask, what other things could KDE try to like brand itself to attract? Like, KDE is for lovers.
Hey, Lupras.
Hey, Godot, RetroArch.
Yeah, they should have had Lutris at the top if they were just going to go with something that uses GTK. Just have Lutris at the top.
Hey, look, we can buy a laptop.
Yeah.
With Hazel in the back
of them. KDE is for lovers.
Books. I thought it said
KDE for kids. KDE will make you... I don't know. We got to start selling KDE to frat boys. Like, KDE will make all the ladies
knock on your door. This week, I used KDE for a couple hours. I did. First time I'd used KDE in probably 20 years. It was kind of wild. Not only did I use KDE, Pedro, I used KDE on Wayland.
Ah, very good.
Yeah.
The true experience.
No wonder you're so fucking passive-aggressive, dude.
on
and that's
Nvidia,
not even the
rough.
Worst of it. I woke up Friday morning, And I'd bought a Mazda.
and a bunch of spare car parts?
No, but these laptops are in my backyard, and I'm scared to ask where they came from.
you open up the trunk of the Mazda, and there's just laptops.
I'm going to turn into a Weir Mateus.
And I anyone trying to use KDE on NVIDIA, just turn off KWin composition
install and access use CDs. Just turn on real desktop.
just turn off your computer and go outside and enjoy life.
Yeah, I don't have anything against like KDE, but like it was instant, and it makes more fucking sense than GNOME, because guess what? GNOME was the default one I installed on Ubuntu, and I was using KDE, baby, because I played with GNOME for about 20 seconds. I'm like, I will punch this goddamn PC. I put KDE on, and yeah, I mean, if you like Windows 10, Windows 11, KDE is the perfect thing for you. Like, it operates that little bar where you get to search for shit, but then you can, like, things are logically laid out, like the multimedia thing. I'm like, oh, look, there's the thing. And of course, I had to go into configuration. I'm like, oh, that's a KDE, I remember. It's been nerfed down than, like, back in the 1.3 days.
Yeah, but they removed a lot of the options, but it still has infinitely more than GNOME.
The GNOME settings has both a smiley and frowny face and two heart buttons.
I really do hate that GNOME error screen. Once upon a time, it gave you a useful piece of information, and now it's just like,
Or the little drop down. Just give me the drop down so I can click on it and see what actually fucking broke.
Yeah, but other than that,
like, the end user doesn't need that information, Peter.
I don't know. I've been daily driving GNOME 3 for what, like, I don't know, since I upgraded this box.
Shouldn't you be using GNOME 4 or 5?
Or yeah, whatever,
you should
GNOME
be using
45.
GNOME 4 already.
I call it GNOME 3. The non-mate branch of GNOME, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Cinnamon?
I guess that's what it would be, yeah.
I have another one lined up if you want to go again.
I've been daily driving GNOME for the latest GNOME for a couple months now. And like, I don't have any issues with it. I live my life in a terminal and a browser, yeah, and it gets the fuck out of my way, and I'm able to do my job.
Yeah, the only thing I don't
terminal,
like about,
browser, and the Steam window.
The KDE is a lot more overhead than XFC.
You're loading up the entire framework.
At least under Wayland. I don't even know how it operates under X, but I was like, I had to pay a bunch of attention to top when I was testing out this DAW and like watching like all the windows being whooshy shit and like, all right, but you're not going to know on a regular desktop. You're not going to notice that unless you're like doing something like running a fucking DAW. So.
And most of the effects you can turn off. There are some that I say leave them on because KDE gets a little jank. And the animations smooth that over a lot. But the...
Is disappearing considered an animation? Because that's what my windows do when I close them.
Yeah, that's one of the effects. You can turn those off.
I don't need like a hobbit's tail between that and not seeing it.
But like, you know what? The thing that KDE does that I like is it loads the entire framework, which most of the KDE-specific applications just work off of. So while you have to download the kitchen sink for something, the moment you have the kitchen sink, you want to install KDN Live. It's only like 200 megs.
I double-click on the app image.
Speaking on the topic like of a gig. of window closing animations, the one fucking fancy wishy extension I have in GNOME is the window incinerator, because it actually encourages me to close my goddamn windows because it's fun to watch them go burn up.
I mean, I spent like a femtosecond playing around with like I guess that's intuitive. I don't know why it was intuitive because I never use it. It was a cursor upper left hand corner window. Give me all my windows.
Yeah. I find I'm doing that. I do that on like Mac and Windows sometimes, and it's like it is very convenient, especially.
I disabled that particular shortcut of the top left because that's where I usually have the menu.
I didn't like the alt tab functionality. That's why I was like, "Ooh."
There is an extension to change that back, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. Everyone, go get your KDE on over at kde.org/4/gamers. All this. This is going to be in our show notes. You too can go
cringe.
Look at it. And let's get an online petition for Graniteer to get its shit together.
No, Graniteer needs to move over to the GNOME project, right? It's because it's G.
It's G. Yeah.
Maybe they kicked it out, man. Maybe it's not by choice. It's over hanging out with a KDE team. It's like, they won't let me play.
Then again, you also have Clementine with a C instead of a K. That one was a given. KDE, what are you doing?
And every one of these jokes is well-deserved because all of the aughts, dude, you guys were really heavy on everything having a K in it. Like, it wasn't a meme. It was just like,
all these jokes are deserved because, you know, just try to install any software with KDE and see all the Ks. It's like going to the fucking
Netherrealm. The joke isn't even a joke. It's just what they were doing.
I really hope Ed Boon has a very good time using KDE is all I'm saying.
Ah, man. Pedro, if people want to get a hold of us, we got to run and get out of here. Well, we got a little bit of a hate mail feedback. Can they do that? Is there a place to click on? Is there moon glyphs to enter? Is there an incantation that can be drawn with a half-finished jar of peanut butter and possibly...
Well, if it's crunchy peanut butter, you can just, you know, reach your hand inside and then smear it all over your face. Get some exfoliation going. The best way to get in touch with us...
Fuck your face up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, exfoliate?
It will exfoliate hard.
It will perforate your skin.
Like, and here's the thing, like, if you do that, but if you remove it with, I don't know, let's say, ants...
No, yes. Once you get the peanut butter on your face, you gotta have, like, the jelly and, like, the banana slices.
And then you lie down and you let your cat or your dog lick it off your face.
Not if I do my job right. If I get enough peanut butter in your eyes, you're not gonna want the jelly.
No, you put the jelly in the ears and up the nose.
That explains why it's in the tube.
The best way to get in touch with us is to go to loiscapecast.com. There's a contact button you press, and there's a form at the bottom of the contact page. At the top, there's some warnings, there's some caveats. Just to keep that in mind, LGC Weekly is this show. That's where you want to send your hate mail to be featured right here, right now. Yes.
I didn't do enough fields.
No. Mm-hmm. You have to fill out the fields. The email has to resolve, at least.
What do we got this week, Jordan?
We got one from Glenham. I'm talking about NVK. He says, or they say, last week you mentioned that the Nuvo leader had quit. Will someone be taking his place? I wonder how long it will take for NBK to begin working as well as Nuvo. It already works better than Nuvo, buddy. I understand that this is a new project and all. I am hopeful that NBK will eventually be able to provide the same level of support as Nuvo. This kind of does. In the meantime, I'm eager to learn more about the progress that is being made on the NBK project. I think we all are, right? Like,
yeah.
In NVIDIA drivers are good from like a software performance standpoint, but the management of them has always been a pain point. Having to enable like external repositories for your specific distribution, downloading and managing run files, having to like drop down to like a CTY in order to actually install the drivers,
the running graphical section.
Yeah. So having some way to like bypass that by having like better integrated drivers into the Linux stack would be a good thing eventually. For now though, it's a thing we got to live with.
NVK is specifically, as the name would imply, for Vulkan, and Nuvo is OpenGL, and since most everything still runs on OpenGL, except video games...
Name 17 things.
You still need the GL support, so until they get Zinc up and running on NVK, which I very much hope is the next step, then you'll be able to just run NVK everything and not even have to touch Nuvo at all. That'd be great.
Yeah. Nuvo has a very like antiquated setup in the driver anyways.
You don't expect much from Nuvo. Yeah. I mean, you got very like, can I get like a screen? Can I get a resolution?
Can I get through the installer? Can I
get more than 256 colors? Like, shit. All right. We're good job. Yeah. I don't expect much from Nuvo outside of like getting the distro installed, maybe with a GUI install if I'm feeling fancy that particular day. All right. How about this? How long from today, mark the date, whatever the date is, 30th of September in the year of his noodly appendage, 2023. How many days from today until we are able to, I don't want to play this. What's, to run the Talos principle under Wayland using an NVIDIA card in the NVK drivers? At 80%, within 80%, of the binary driver speed.
80%. That is 2026.
We're not going for that.
3 years.
I would probably say 2030, but then again, like, we've had some weird jumps in Linux graphics in the past couple of years where we've just kind of like leapfrogged. So it's possible, like, DXVK was a big one for that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of went from like having barely any like working games on Linux to having like 70%.
We went from genuinely like, if it's a DX11 game, forget it.
Yeah. To God, I hope it's DX11. That's the only way this shit runs well. Yeah. So like we, it's very possible we're going to have another leap like that. The NVK driver can use the GSP firmware. Mm-hmm. So that's already a huge leap above what Nouveau was dealing with. So
do you think NVIDIA is genuinely, because my current just observation, NVIDIA is not going to seriously move on Wayland until Red Hat rolls it out.
Yes.
Red Hat proper. Like, and they're like, we're done with X completely. Get fucked. And that is probably 10 years away.
And it is coming soon. KDE is dropping X on Fedora, and when RHEL 10 comes out,
well, in, it's what, proposed. 3-4 years?
Proposed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, it, so like, assuming in that one time stream where that does go through,
yeah.
That means that we have like another 3 or 4 years until RHEL 10. So that may be sooner than we think. If yeah.
The proposal was for Fedora 40, so it's Fedora 38 now.
Yeah. And yeah, whatever they branch RHEL 10 off, because like that's up in the air until like they decide what to do it. Because sometimes they do it like what a couple Fedora releases back. Sometimes they do it like pretty close to it if it's like stable enough. So
I'm gonna go out. Not even a safe bet. I'm in a very bullish bet. I want to think that the fine carbon based entities over at
Collabora.
Get it right.
Aurora Borealis.
Couldn't you just called it Calabra?
Calabra.
Calabra.
Bra. Calabra. B-R-U-H. Bruh.
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 Hashtag.
Bruh.
But I'm very positive with NVK, because if they play their cards right, they can inherit a lot of the work that's already gone into RADV, which...
We're going to see. This is why I'm going to say 2026, by December of 2026, we will not only be within 80%, I'm going to say we will be in near as makes no difference performance parity, at least with Vulkan games and applications with the NVK driver. I'll give us about 3 years.
It's very possible, like Pedro said, with the ACO stuff, with like Mike is pulling out like, hey, random 5,000% performance
yeah.
improvement.
Yeah, 5,000% optimization.
Yeah, like it's
when you think about all the big gains in software that are there to be taken, because how mm-hmm. many decades have we just been throwing cycles at the fucking problem?
Right.
OpenGL.
Yeah.
Everything is single threaded.
Well, how long in the gaming industry did we see people using DX11, bro? Because like OpenGL is too inefficient. It can't be done. Except for the one fucking development studio that knew OpenGL inside out. We called him ID.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you, Carmack?
Ran the most efficient, best looking bullshit tech demos that also had games attached to them sometimes. Using all OpenGL. Now Vulkan. So There's gains to be made. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's strange future we live in, man.
I mean, but then what? I feel bad for the haters though, because some people have corporate waifus, and some people have AMD for their corporate waifu, and some people have NVIDIA for their corporate waifu. what are you going to hate on when NVIDIA is has like an open source graphics stack, and they're at parity with AMD with their closed source and open source. Like, who do you go pick on then? Motherfuckers like with Matrox cards, like
Dell. People who buy Dell pre-constructed computers.
Okay,
and then take off the GPU and sell the GPU separately for the same price that they bought the pre-build for.
You know, people used to be able to get away with that.
Fuck all those people in general. Like those guys all deserve to like fucking die.
That genuinely happened between, you know, when the world ended in 2020 and now.
When the simulation rebooted, yeah. Hey, if you want to support our simulation, head over to our support tab over at linuxteamcast.com. We got a bunch of ways you can kick some cash all over our face, chests, and neck. We'd very much appreciate it. If not, just share the show. Tell a friend about it. Do not tell cats. That is your only warning. We have a Patreon over at patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. You can become one of the weird, one of the few, one of the many, and hang out with us in our Discord. A bunch of other bonus sodas we throw all over you for helping us out once a week. LibrePay, PayPal is also there. We got one-time donations. One of these days, I'm going to open our Bitcoin wallet. Who knows? We could be multi-bitonaires. That's
if,
a word.
Like, yeah, if we have like $2 million in there, I'm going to be like simultaneously impressed and be like, yo, Ben, can I have like...
Yeah, yeah, then you get to watch the how do I trade the Bitcoins cast. Yeah. Amazon wish list. If you want to pick us up something and send us a little piece of paper where we got to read it out on the show, we're more than happy to do it. It's like a little free bonus present you can give us. Jordan has one, Jill has one, Pedro has one, and I have one for the studio. We also have merch to put us over your face, chest, and neck over at our LGC store, along Hold with on. Amazon. Like, yes.
Do we have LGC chokers? Can we get like a little Frank or like a penguin choker? So you can put LGC on your neck.
It's just, what if I could just get like a choke chain?
Just a leash. Just
yeah, like, no, it's just fucking chain, baby.
Yeah, just off choker, of our yeah, Teespring, we'll sell you like a like chain from Home Depot.
But we put a little voice box on it, and it goes, LGC carrots, when you hit the fucking floor, passed out, asphyxiated. Yeah.
Yeah. Call yeah, you David need to Carradine listen to that special. Choker a little bit. You're looking a little...
Then for purple. No reason, it's just going to say, buy my book.
Buy my book.
I do want to thank Mir for dropping a resub on Twitch. If you got those Bezo bucks laying around from your Amazon Prime, you want to kick them our way, you can come hang out with us on Tuesdays and Fridays where we do Trackmania. Also hook it, link that up into our Discord, and we will be there the other 6 days a week because that's where we reside. As always, we got an IRC, and we're on the social medias that we'll tell you about in just a minute. And you know what? That minute is right now. Shit, son. You can always find us right here on Twitch, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, playing around with the Jitsi when it breaks, because it usually takes a couple of weeks to get that shit sorted back out. But if you want to get in touch with me, I'm Vin Stone over on zitter.eu.xx, whatever. I'm still on the Twitter thing, and we have a federated timeline where I'm just Vin over at mass.linuxgamecast.com. A couple of good conversations going on over there. You can find it. I have faith in you.
TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, but I'm Jordan. You can find me.
I'm a human clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to explode with diarrhea. Find me on Mastodon. I'm Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com. And on X Twitter, I'm very sad there isn't an x.xxx that redirects to Twitter. Elon, spend your money on that at the Burning Fool. Yeah, go there.
And now I have Kesha's TikTok in my head. But we're not going to fight tonight. Instead, I'm just going to point you to Mastodon. That's unaccounted for with the actual number 4.
That's what you get for listening to ska.
At mass.linuxgamecast.com.
I thought Kesha was new metal.
It's prog rock, you monster.
I thought it was bluegrass.
It's just blues.
Time for some cred.
Oh, man. Powered by... I guess, yes, tech... Oh, ah, George VPN. Okay. Hey. I think technically that box does have a VPN on there, so you could connect to it. We gotta thank our lovely advisors. We gotta thank Omegas, our Theron, and our executive producers, Barb Ramp, Scott Machota, top guest, Mike G, drummer, Tomas, Hakim, Dave, Eshep, Ian, and our Chicago Kicksass, Soup, Linlick Fans, Super Destote, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, and Nubin.
Sea Monsters, Renault, Redorex, Machina, Trojiverse, Anuda, Justin Nubin, Darkwing, System T, Dancing Joe, Ogi One, and Kyrillo. With the Death Notes, Nova, Basil, Chad, Romeo, Marcin, Ray,
good
Leonardo,
luck.
The Crazy,
they're behind
Kim,
seven cheerlings.
Chris, Steven, Jill, Benjamin, Do That
Alex,
Once,
all of our cheerlings.
Dirty Dean, Xanthorus Gaming, Rue, Turnover,
and of course our fun Aromatic Dev. Animals like Carl,
there was
Mike,
a row there
Arthur,
I couldn't
Link
get to.
All these Knuckles, John Eshep, Gametron, you know, DSN, Joe, Aromatic Dev, and of course, Guy Linux.
You are all truly wonderful.
We would like to thank you for your service. As always, hashtag LGC cares, and most importantly,
for your genetic material that we've taken from you.
Dynafire.
Non-consensually.
See, this is your problem. Pedro, that's your problem. You always walk up to somebody and like, do you mind if I non-consensually take some of your DNA? And they're like, it's so weird they give it to you.
and then you just pluck one of their hairs out and you walk away.
Then he just French kisses them and runs away.
Gives them a little butt squeeze too, just for good measure.
Five dudes.